I'm going to continue with the Why series, getting into part six tonight, and looking back over the notes. I'm not very far off from when I preached it the first time. It was in May, so it's taken just about as long to get through it as it did in the previous. What was it, in 2017, I think it said, so, yes, 2017, and hopefully I can finish it before I did back then, because it went into 2018, and I really don't want to go into 2028, or 2027. I'd like to get it done this year. It'd be nice. Part six, the Why series, Why We Do What We Do. And this evening, the question is, why modesty? Why modesty? Would you bow your head with me as we prepare our hearts to hear from the Lord and ask for His special help in this part of the service? Lord Jesus, we come to You with a subject that is sometimes difficult to share. It's sometimes difficult to get across. But I pray for Your special anointing tonight, both to the speaker as well as to the hearers. Pray that You would open our hearts and prepare our heart for what God would have for us to hear tonight. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to see that modesty is an issue that is near to Your heart for Your people. Bless us together, I pray, as we look at what this subject holds and references from Your word that will establish something within our mind and our heart of the realities and the importance of modesty. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We really can't get into the point of modesty without first of all understanding that the fallen man's idea or opinion of modesty is different from God's. I think we have to establish that first. That we cannot define modesty without God giving us a foundation, a foothold to stand on. Because modesty is shifting, modesty changes with culture and societal changes. Sin itself creates a different opinion. Sin itself started this whole division about and the concern about modesty. And it's fueled by the devil's hunger or desire to destroy what God loves and what God calls good. We must keep in mind that this point is a point of serious battle between the enemy of our soul, Satan, the devil, and God. And he will work through people to get back at God. And that's the thing that we have to consider and understand, that we must keep our focus on God and hear Him and seek His word. When we see and understand that it's sin that creates a difference of opinion, we have to then also understand that we are fallen humanity, that we come into the picture with a tainted view. We come in with a contaminated view. We have something that is called selfishness. Or if you don't like the word selfishness, you can go to the heart of the issue and just simply call it pride. I know we don't like that word. But understanding this is really the key to understanding the difference between man's opinion of modesty and God's opinion of modesty. Selfishness and pride will always want its own way. But there must be a standard, there must be a point of reference to go to, and for the Christian, the true Christian, Now, I can't define who the true Christian is. That's between that person and God. But the true Christian wants the standard of God's word. They may not understand what it is that God's word has because God's word isn't emphasized in their religious world. I don't have anything wrong or anything bad to say about devotional books. I believe that devotional books can be a huge asset to somebody's religious life, their spiritual health. But we must be going beyond a devotional book. We must be going into God's word. That's why it's emphasized here often, especially at the beginning and the ending of a year, to read the Bible through on a regular basis. If it takes you 2 years, then so be it. If you are such a Christian, a young Christian, that you are struggling to get through the Gospels, then keep working through the Gospels. Read the book of Hebrews when you're ready for Hebrews. Read the book of Revelation when... But it's the hunger for God's word that I believe that we must understand, a desire to know what God has to say. And not to just simply throw out passages because we feel like that's not relevant to our day or to our culture. We must make sure the where's and the why for's of what it is that people are throwing away and saying, well, that is irrelevant. It might be relevant for us because some things are established at the very beginning of creation. You know what those are? There's some principles that God laid down in the Garden of Eden. They're principles that are relevant for every generation. One of those is that worshiping the Creator only is established in the Garden of Eden. We also find that resting on the seventh day was established in the Garden of Eden. Marriage was established in the Garden of Eden. One man, one woman for life. That's the established marriage covenant that is given to us in the Garden of Eden. Any other union is something besides marriage. You know, nowadays we're talking about all of this stuff being marriage, and it's not marriage. Marriage is man and woman. It's not what modesty is about. Here I get hung up on that one. But then modesty is also established in the garden. It wasn't established at creation, but it was established in the garden. Before man was exiled from the garden, God established a bottom line principle for modesty. And the thing that we have to notice in the beginning of this point of modesty in Scripture is that man's opinion differed greatly from God's opinion. Sin will do that. Genesis 3:7, the eyes of them both were opened and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. I don't know how we can fully understand what that really means, but I'm told that the Hebrew word translated apron speaks of something that is worn about the hips. Maybe we would liken it more to a loincloth than to an apron. But I believe that the picture here is a small covering that Adam felt would be sufficient to cover up in the presence of God after sin came on board. In the book, What the Bible Teaches About Modesty and Adornment by Dr. Alan Brown, he said, this is fallen man's opinion of modesty. It comes from a man and a woman who probably had the greatest intellectual capability of any humans who ever lived. Adam and Eve, who were created perfect and holy, who had enjoyed unbroken fellowship with a holy God,
We're confident, we're fully confident that a loincloth is sufficient clothing to cover their nakedness. But God's standard then is found several verses later. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Coats of skins and clothe them. You see, right there, it would appear that God was not in agreement with man's dress code. God was not in agreement with man's dress code. Brown goes on to say, what else may be involved in God making coats of skins and clothing them is not indicated by the text. What is indicated is that God did not consider their aprons to be modest attire. When he clothed them, he established his standard of modesty. Now, how do we establish a standard of modesty? How do we understand modesty? I did a quick search of a variety of churches, church organizations. Some of it sounds good on its surface or at the outset. Dress with modesty and self-control is what is stated. That's good. What does that mean? Focus on inner character over outward appearance. That's good too. But what does that mean? Outward appearance can be defined by a myriad of definitions. And some of those definitions are made or created from the very nature of sin, from the very king of sin, from the pit and the darkness of hell. Some of those standards of dress, outward appearance, that is defined. We can get into a number of things that come into play in our dress standards or in people's dress standards that the world recognizes that it's simply designed for personal attention. And most of the time, when a person is seeking attention in the sinful way, it is a sinful attention getting. And it doesn't matter, it does not matter when somebody says, well, that's not my intent. You're deceiving yourself if you are participating in something that is designed by the world to be attractive to yourself or to get attention to yourself, whether man or woman. Let me just throw that in there so that you don't think that I'm just throwing it out here at the women. Men can be just as guilty. I believe that it is good for us to have focus on inner character over outward appearance. But as God changes the inner man, it comes out to the outward. The standard is less about exact clothing rules and more about attitude and intent. Avoiding clothing meant to draw sexual attention or show off wealth and emphasizing humility. Those are good statements. Another one states clothing that is not overly revealing. Avoiding very short, tight, or low-cut styles. Dressing in a way considered appropriate for the setting, especially more formal for church services. Avoid clothing with offensive language or imagery. General emphasis on neatness and respectfulness. Those are all nice things. Some of the defining elements in this search revealed conservative churches and moderate churches. Isn't that interesting terminology? Conservative, you know, do you know that business has conservative dress standards? Businesses? There's conservative dress standards, and there's moderate dress standards, and there's relaxed dress standards. One person or one organization said the standard isn't a strict rule book. It's a principle of honoring God and others through humility and self-restraint, interpreted differently depending on the specific congregation and culture. Doesn't say it mention anything at all about the principles of modesty established in God's word. Well, we could go on here with a number of different things, the different churches. And again, some of them having some good things to say on the outset at the, you know, the original or the intent and the seeking out of a divine nature is very limited in the search here. I don't see it as it's given much thought. It's simply one does, which is considered a conservative organization, separation from worldliness. That is stated in their rule. Conservative branches. I could get into a number of other things and I'll just pass by that. But what is God saying about making coats? What is it that God is trying to say here? You see, the purpose of clothing is to cover. The purpose of clothing is to cover something specific. Now, we have a little difficulty, perhaps, understanding in our culture what God is referencing as nakedness. But let's just simply for now understand that the purpose of clothing is to cover nakedness. Now, nakedness can be defined by any part of the body that God says must be covered. Nakedness is the same thing as immodesty. Did you catch that part? Nakedness is the same thing as immodesty. To be immodest is to expose publicly any part of one's body that God wants covered. Do I need to insert here again that that includes men as well as women? It's not just for one or the other. It's for both of us. If God says it should be covered, then it should be covered on both of us. We find that cultural and societal changes are always in motion, and the church must have and maintain a standard. The church must establish boundaries. There must be guidelines. In other words, churches need to have some kind of rules. Quite often those rules, when they are written down on paper underneath the heading of a particular church, it is almost always considered by somebody who does not want to abide by those that these are man-made rules. I know that it's easy to have man-made rules, but the rules, I believe, that are governing us today, that should be governing us today, they may appear to be man-made, but they are given to us so often in God's Word that we have to seek them out and to try to understand them. And often, more often than not, the rules of the church have been established to guard us or to be guidelines, guardrails against going off into the areas that God doesn't want us going off into. You see, the problem with man-made rules or what modesty and how modesty is defined, that no matter where anybody stands on issues such as modesty, immodesty is always the other person's problem. I've heard women say that it doesn't matter what I dress, how I dress, the problem is in the eyes and the mind of the man. You see, it's always the other guy's problem. But ladies, men, are we called to be careful or are we called to be selfish? I believe that we are called to be careful, not wanting somebody else to fall because we are too much of a reveal. Dr. Brown says that some guidelines for modesty are found by studying the use of the Hebrew word coat and the words that are translated nakedness. And if I could borrow from another scriptural context, a complete different context, where a question was given to Jesus Christ about a certain circumstance, and Jesus responded from out of the hardness of your heart, Moses gave that. Well, I believe that we can bring that phrasing right into the context of this subject too, because so often, if not always, when there's an argument, I mean an argument about modesty, not the little details that stand out as significant in our church world, but the details of modesty, when the argument is pressed up and pushed out against modesty, it has to be coming from the hardness of the heart, the nature of sin, wanting selfish ways. But if we really, truly want to please God, we will look at and try to understand that there is a standard, there is a guideline for modesty for both men and women. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now we always believe that God is consistent in his revelation. Therefore, the cut and the style was surely different for men and women. It does not specifically say that in Genesis chapter 3, but God is consistent. While we can't understand how that difference was, I believe that God gave a distinction even at the very beginning of making coats for Adam and Eve. How do I know that, or why do I believe that? Because in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5, he clearly states that there is a difference in the clothing for men and women. He would not have put that in Deuteronomy if he did not establish it in the Garden of Eden when he clothed Adam and Eve. If it was not a reality or an important part of God's standard of modesty, I don't believe we would have found it here in Deuteronomy 22. What does he say in Deuteronomy 22? The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, I might even go off the deep end here and just simply say, I believe that that includes particular dress-ups for school. Guys, don't go to dress up for school in woman's clothes, and girls the same. I mean, reversed. It's amazing to me how that particular area is being allowed in our world, in our circles. If it's wrong, not only is it wrong, but in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says that it's an abomination unto the Lord. Now, I believe that there's something significant when he says something's an abomination. You say, well, there's not levels to sin. I understand how we get to that understanding, how we get to that point of belief. But I do believe as God gives us certain things, some things are sin, but then there's also some things that are abomination. All sin is abominable. All sin is condemnable. All sin, any sin, will cause us to miss heaven. It's sin that separates us from God. But there are some things that are just plain abomination. Now, how important is it that we understand this about abomination? Revelation 21, 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. Well, that's what God's word's telling us in Revelation when he's talking about us entering into heaven. Worketh abomination. Or maketh a lie. The only ones that are going to get into heaven are those written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So how do we know what is modest or immodest? And in that book that I referenced by Dr. Brown, he sets up what he calls irreducible minimums for modesty. Irreducible minimums for modesty. He does not call them maximums, he calls them minimums. He says it's the very minimum that needs to be considered for considering modesty. Let me rephrase his words. Irreducible minimums for modesty. Let me reduce that and call it the most liberal standard. The most liberal standard for modesty. The garment of the Old Testament had a neckline. When we understand that a garment has a neckline, it means that it is covering the torso. It is covering the upper body from the waist up to the neck. Now, I'm not sure how relevant a reference in the book of Job is to this particular topic, but in the book of Job, there's a quick word for covering that Job uses in Job 30, verse 18. He said, "It bindeth me about as the collar of my coat." The collar of my coat. Same word, I believe, that is used in the Genesis passage, Genesis 3, where God made coats. It's around the neck. It's a collar of the coat. And so to expose the torso area in public view is to expose nakedness, and nakedness is a shame in God's sight. Therefore, I think it's easy for us to grasp then that clothing that exposes the torso is not modest clothing. Men, women, hear me, or hear God. Not only is the garment to cover the torso, in other words, it is supposed to conceal, it is not supposed to reveal. It's not supposed to reveal human anatomy. In other words, it should be thick enough, loose enough to properly conceal what is being covered. The neckline, the sleeve length, the shape, all of that should be designed with this in mind, that I am covered completely and always when I am in public. In this nature, in this fashion. Whether I'm sitting or standing, I see that in our youth camp rules. Yep, it's been in the youth camp rules that I was the director of for 20 some years. Skirts were supposed to be below the knee, whether sitting or standing. Why? Why is that so important? Why is that so important? Well, we can get into the length, but you see, before I get into the length, the point is that whether we are sitting or standing, or whether we have our arms raised or our arms down, or whether we are above somebody or below somebody, however it is in our posture, whatever we are doing, that we are not exposing what God calls nakedness. When I was a kid, when I was a teen, collarbone was the point of reference. the collarbone for some ladies among us, some ladies among our church circles, that would not even be the necessity to be considered, because they feel like for them that they must be above the collarbone. But sad to say, it's creeping well below the collarbone in our generation and in our culture, even within our church culture, where the covering is less of a covering. God help us to realize that it's not a matter of being so strict that we're of no earthly value, but it's simply obeying the modesty standard that God has established of being covered. And realizing that sin's definition is to uncover as much as possible. What about below the waist? Now, I'm told that the covering that is referenced in Old Testament passages, and we can find a lot, we can learn a lot about the high priest or the priestly garments and the reasons why they had it. Now, does that mean that they had a different standard, or was it because they were being set up as an example to the people around them? Believe that it was set up to be an example of what modesty was, that the knee in this area of being modest or covered in scriptural context, the bare minimum, as Dr. Brown would say, that is, it's the irreducible minimum, I believe is what he said, the modesty of the length of the garment, the exposure of the leg about the knee, is nakedness and immodest. Well, how much of the leg below the knee should be covered? How much of the leg below the knee should be covered? Now sometimes that's determined by the cultural standards of society. But a Christian will be careful to not give offense. Be careful to not give offense. Now, as I mentioned, we learned some things from the Old Testament priestly coverings. Exodus 28, verse 42, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach." Covering that part. Well, what do you mean that it's only to the knees? The bare minimum, the irreducible minimum. Isaiah 47, "Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover the locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance." God is clearly depicting in that passage that there is a consequence for this immodesty, this shameful exposure. Skirts are creeping up in our generation. Just under the knee, then just over the kneecap, then the leggings appear to the knee, then the leggings reach to the mid-calf. And I'm thankful that people have a desire to be covered, but as the skirts come up and the leggings go down, I wonder if the letter of the law is being fulfilled, but the spirit of the law is being destroyed. Years ago, the church took a stand against miniskirts, and then it took a stand against maxi skirts. So that the thought was put forward that the church was just simply against everything rather than to have a standard that didn't waver. You know, that's what we need. We need a standard that doesn't waver. Did you hear me? We need a standard that doesn't waver. I'm not talking to the church today. I'm talking to the family today. We need a standard that doesn't waver. Irreducible minimum. covering. What is wrong with being covered beyond the irreducible minimum? As a matter of fact, I would tend to believe that God wants us to go beyond what is being called the irreducible minimum. That is the irreducible minimum. He is not wanting us just simply to reach that bare minimum standard. Why? Because any deviance, any change, anything that is revealed that he calls nakedness is a shame. Loose enough, thick enough, properly designed so that the leg remains covered no matter what the activity. Any clothing that exposes the thigh to the gaze of others is immodest. Young ladies, I don't want to pick on you, and I'm not picking on you. But help our young guys out by being covered, making sure that you're covered. Our men have a target on them, and you know, the sad thing is that some of this target is really becoming skewed around, and our young ladies are being targeted probably just as much as our young men have. But let's be careful that we are not causing them to stumble in some areas because you're less exposed. Or more exposed, less covered than what perhaps you should be. God's standard of modesty. Sometimes the men who are the strongest ones on modesty of the women fall short on the modesty of themselves. And some of you can nod your head, you know what I'm because it's been a problem. Men, somehow we've thought that we can get away with things of being less covered. Well, because I'm working. But if we're in a public place, we better be careful about being exposed. Man should be just as concerned about hemlines, necklines, and creeping up and slipping down. And you see, modesty is always the other person's problem, not mine. Should we get into shoes? Shoes. Shoes are to be for a utilitarian purpose. They're cute, they're pretty, they're cool. This is a hard one to pin down, isn't it? You're saying, preacher, where in the world are you going? Let me just say it this way. Be careful. Make sure that your intent, really, truly lines up with God. Really. Maybe we ought to just go back to sandals. Boy, that's heresy. For some of us, we need to wear socked sandals. Am I doing this so that I fit in with the world, or am I doing this so that I fit in with God's standard? Am I seeking God's standard, or am I wanting the leeks and the garlics of the world, of Egypt? Old Testament passages over and over again told the Israelites to refrain from picking up the ways of the Egyptians, the Moabites, and others that God wanted them to be separated from, not like. He wanted them to be separated from. What is it? What am I talking about tonight? I'm talking about modesty. Simply covering ourselves. The people that argued for men to wear below the knee shorts a few years ago are now wearing below or above the knee shorts. Where does it go? Where does it stop? Where do we take it? We begin to relinquish, relinquish conservative standards and we lose more than what we ever thought we would lose because it's just a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit more the next time. And before long, we're further than what we ever thought we would be, more than what we started out arguing about. Covering, modesty, being what God wants us to be in covered. Covered. Would you stand with me tonight? I think that Valerie Questenberry had it right. It's still a good idea. All right. Lord, help us. Guide us. Lead us. We need him, don't we? Let's be faithful to him. Amen. Diana, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?